Ratner City Commission meeting, August 22nd, 2019.
Call to order. Please rise for the flag to lead. Chief Crane, will you lead us, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Crevel?
Here.
Commissioner Langria?
Here.
Mayor Holtzman?
Here. Pursuant to the Open Public Meeting Act, notice of this meeting has been provided in accordance with the law. First thing on our agenda tonight is a presentation from the Atlantic County Joint Insurance.
Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. Jim Goss, your Atlantic County appointed Commissioner to the Joint Insurance Fund for Ventnor City. Tonight, we're going to give a presentation for the renewal for what's been going on with the JIF for Ventnor, and Paul Mignola, who is our Executive Municipal Strategist, will make the presentation. And if you have any questions or concerns after you hear the presentation, we don't want to take a lot of your time tonight, so what I would like you to do is I would like you to email any of your questions or concerns to myself, to Paul Mignola, and to Stan Gunnison, who is our risk management officer. So,
if we have questions, we're going to have to ask them here.
You can. Oh, yes.
Yeah, this is the only time the three of us are allowed to hear.
Oh, absolutely.
So
not,
it'll,
yes,
be, it'll be more.
Absolutely.
Done, it'll be done the right way. If we have questions, we will ask. Okay.
Yeah, but in the future, like I say, if there is anything you think of, don't feel free anytime to.
In the future, anywhere. We'll go tonight.
But for tonight, absolutely feel
perfect.
Free. We just didn't want to tie your time up.
That's fine.
But we're more than willing to answer any questions if we can.
Okay.
Without any further comments, I'm just going to turn you over to Paul Mignola.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, Paul. Can I have permission to hand these
out? Yes, absolutely.
Hey, well, thank you for having me here this evening. As you know, your membership in the Joint Insurance Fund is up this year, and I'd like to come out and visit with the governing body and let you know how the Joint Insurance Fund is doing, remind you of the JIF's value, and also help you understand some of the resources that are available. So if you flip over, you'll see these are page number in the lower right-hand corner, just on page 3 right now. You know, we think the JIF has been a tremendous success. Ventnor has been a member of the JIF since 1988. We think it represents the most successful example of interlocal cooperation in New Jersey history. Basically, when we started the Joint Insurance Fund back in 1987, it was because insurance companies were canceling coverage for municipal government. They were jacking the rates up pretty heavily. They wouldn't provide certain types of coverage. They didn't want to cover police departments, ambulances, things like that. And the New Jersey legislature amended Title 48, and they said two or more local units of government can pool their resources together to collectively insure themselves as a group for the fire of the liability of workers' compensation. So that's why the JIF started on January 1st, 1987, and 1 year later, you folks came in. So besides providing affordable coverage, we've also over the years developed some superior programs, and we've achieved significant stability and strength. It's noted at the bottom of page 3 that it's estimated that these joint insurance funds have saved New Jersey taxpayers in excess of $1.3 billion since they formed. Looking at page 4, talk about the fact that we've got a very stable 32-year history. Currently, we have over $26 million in surplus and $48 million of cash on hand. And that's important because you want to know that we've got the financial resources to pay your claims when they do occur. If you look at page 5, I talk about dividends. What is that? Well, because we're not an insurance company, every penny that's not expended on claims is returned to the members with interest. So since inception, we've returned, the Atlantic JIF has returned over $37 million in dividends. Last year, we returned $3.2 million. We're looking to return the same amount. And here, Ventnor has received close to $2 million of dividends, money that would have been insurance company profits, including $148,000 this past year. Looking at page six, the biggest portion of our budget is what we call loss funds. That's the money we put in the budget to pay the claims of the member municipalities. And you can see over the past few years, our members have been doing a great job of controlling their claims. And the actuary has said, we don't have to put as much money in the budget to pay claims. Now, 2018 is a bit of an anomaly because what happened is we bumped our self-insured retention. We used to pay the first $300,000 of every claim out of our budget. But we were doing so well, we said, why pay more money for reinsurance or excess insurance? Let's bump our retention to $500,000. So our loss funding went up, but our overall budget did go down that year. If you look at the next page, you take a look at your loss ratio trend. What's a loss ratio? A loss ratio should be more like a golf score. Not my golf score, but a good golf score. You want it to be below 100, below 100%. And your loss ratio trend over the six-year average is running about 75%. That means you've incurred about 75 cents on the dollar in claims. And if you look at page eight, that's been accompanied by a significant reduction in your loss funding. So it's recognized that we folks are pulling the rope in the right direction. And if you look at page nine, you'll see you have about 10% reduction in your premium since your last renewal. So that's certainly something nice to see that something in your budget is going down. At the same time, on page 10, you'll see that your dividends have been increasing. And your dividends have gone up dramatically. As a matter of fact, they represent about 14, almost 15% of your annual premiums. And you can use that dividend to offset your premiums. You can take it as a cash dividend, or you can stow it away for a rainy day fund within the joint insurance fund, or split it in some fashion that you like, some of those three options. I talk about page 11, about cost effectiveness. The GIF operates on about 12 cents on the dollar, very, very efficient operation. We're able to do that because, again, we're not an insurance company. We only use contracted services. We have no employees. We don't pay taxes. We're a governmental agency. We're not an insurance company. So that gives us a great advantage in our overhead department. We also do a lot of control medical costs. We want to make sure we get people to the right doctors right away because we know that that's going to pay dividends in the long run if we get them well and healthy quickly. We manage our litigation very strongly. We use local defense attorneys, and we have a strong litigation management program. And all the members participate in the safety and wellness programs, the claims management, risk management programs. And again, at the bottom of page 11, I point out the fact that there is no drive for profits in the joint insurance fund. We pay no taxes because we're a quasi-governmental agency. And no residual market cost means that we don't pay to subsidize the New Jersey assigned risk plans for workers' comp and automobiles. So where an insurance company might take 35 cents on the dollar to run the insurance company, we're running on about 12 cents on the dollar. Page 12 talks about member involvement, which gives us local control. The members have a board that sets policy, just like this your township committee, your city council does, and they drive the decisions for the joint insurance fund. We hold monthly peer meetings. Jim Goss comes and represents Vetner. That allows for built-in networking opportunities and allows for great collaboration among the members so that they can talk about issues that they might be facing that present risks to their town. And again, all the members are committed to safety and risk management. You'll see a list of them on page 13. So these are your neighbors. These are the folks that share risk with you in the joint insurance fund. And again, they're all dedicated to managing risk and keeping their premiums as low as they can. But I always like to say on page 14, risk management starts at home. It starts with mayor and council. That moves down to your staff and your management and your risk management consultant to try and make sure that you're practicing safety and you're managing your claims appropriately. So again, it starts on the support at the top. Page 15, I talk about your local risk management team. Donna Peterson does a great job as your safety coordinator. She serves as a liaison between the city and the GIF safety director. She chairs your safety committee. She coordinates the safety training to make sure that that information is being disseminated when it comes out from the safety director. Lynn Orsali is your claims coordinator. She maintains your claims forms. When a claim comes in, she makes sure it's reported to the proper channels. And then she serves as the relationship between the claims adjusters and the city and relays that information back and forth. already mentioned Jim Goss. He is your representative to the JIF. He serves on JIF boards, committees. He's on the executive committee right now. He monitors your participation and he protects your interests. So when decisions are being made, he takes a look, you know, how is this going to directly affect Ventnor, and, you know, brings things up that may be a concern. And then Stan Gunnison is your risk management consultant. Now, this is a role that used to be filled by an insurance agent, but he's not an agent of the JIF. He's not an agent of an insurance company. He's under contract with Ventnor to provide specific risk management services to the city. Page 16, I talk about some key areas where we've been helping you manage risk. Employment practices and public officials' liability. We put out periodic compliance updates so that your personnel manuals are up to date. We conduct elected officials and employee training in the areas of sexual harassment, hostile work environment, things of that nature. And we've implemented a mental health line this year that I'll tell you a little bit more about in the next slide or two. Cyber, a big issue today. Municipalities are being hacked. It's a terrible thing to come in on a Monday morning and see that your screen is blue and somebody is demanding ransom for you to get your data back. We provide the necessary coverage, great resources, online training. As a matter of fact, about 80% of your employees are already taking the online training to help them recognize any cyber risks that they might be facing at their desks and other computer terminals. We conduct vulnerability assessments where we will actually come in and see if you have any open ports where a hacker can get in and attack your network. And we also do phishing exercises where we will send an email to your employees and see if they click on it from an unknown source or maybe it's an attachment. And if they do, we say you've been hacked and you need to take this five-minute training exercise so that you understand some of the risks of opening up emails. And then our wellness program. We have websites and newsletters that go out to the members about promoting wellness. We just hired a new wellness director. She's coming out of Pinckney County. She comes and visits, helps you put your own program together. There's also some incentives in there to help you develop your own wellness activity. So turning to page 17, just to dive deeper on the employment practices liability. We just put a new helpline in this year. That means that you can pick up a phone, let's say your administrator has a question about a particular situation that's coming up, maybe an employee requesting accommodation under the Americans with Disabilities Act. You pick up the phone, talk to one of our attorneys, get some guidance on that. If necessary, can be referred to an attorney that specializes in defending these claims, and there's no cost to the city for that. Page 18, the Mel Cyber Risk Management Plan. This is something we put out about a year and a half ago. There's two levels of standards to comply with. It mostly required elbow grease, for example, putting in policies to change employee passwords periodically, having standard backups performed on a regular basis. And if you comply with these standards, you're eligible for reimbursement of the deductible under this coverage. It carries a $10,000 deductible, but you can eliminate $5,000 or even up to $7,500 of that deductible by complying with this program. And this is something that is posted on our website. You can turn it over to your IT professional, and I'm certain that you guys probably already comply with most of the standards, and simply having your IT person verify that and submit the required documentation, you'd be in a position to reduce that deductible and also make sure that you're protecting the city and its assets from potential hackers. Page 19, our wellness program. We recognize healthy employees are less likely to get hurt on the job. They're likely to recover more quickly. That's why we started to implement this program to try and help us with our workers' compensation claim stream. And again, our wellness director does come out and help you set up your own wellness committee and your wellness activities. Great newsletters published once a month. They circulate among your staff. Gives you tips and recipes, exercises, things of that nature. Page 20, I'd like to show a comparison. These are two actual cases that our claims administrator brought to our attention. We know that no two employees are identical, but we tried to get two employees that are close as possible. Both age 53, they both had a left rotator cuff tear. Employee on the left, obese, a smoker, was out of work 20 weeks. We find with these cases there's delayed surgery, longer recovery times. cost of that claim of $35,000. Employee of Wright, same injury, healthy weight, non-smoker, out of work 8 weeks, only cost $61,000. So we think our investment in wellness is not only good for the employees in and of itself, but it also makes financial sense. And you know, we're eager to see all of our members get on board with that program. So coming back to page 22, just a couple of new items. TULIP, a tenant user's liability insurance policy. Somebody comes in, they want to use one of your facilities for a birthday party, for an engagement party, for a sweet 16 party, something like that. They don't have insurance. You can hand them this brochure. They can go online. They can use their credit card. For about $60, $70, they can get a $1 million liability policy that automatically names the city of Metro as an additional insured, so that if something does happen, there's a lawsuit, you're going to be protected, and they are as well. So that's a great program, and that information is also on our website. And we just finished updating our certificate of insurance guidelines. These will be put out in the fall. Our attorney is doing the final review on them right now. But recommendations for different type of coverage and insurance limits for contractors or vendors that are coming into the city to do work. And we've updated those also to make sure that these people have the proper cyber protection, because if one of your vendors releases your employee information or personally identifiable information, you can be responsible for that as well. So we want to make sure that those vendors are also carrying the proper insurance. So you'll see those very shortly. And on page 23, we just finished developing some land use training for your land use board members. There have been some rather nasty claims around the state, and we just put out, it's a nice booklet. We're going to be sending that out to your planning board attorney to review with the planning board. It should take about 20 minutes for that review, but just to kind of update them and remind them of some of their responsibilities to act as a quasi-judicial body. And then recent legislation that impacts you. About 2 months ago, the New Jersey legislature passed the Sexual Abuse and Molestation Act, which basically opens up the statute of limitations for people to bring claims against entities in New Jersey. This has the potential to bring claims against Metner for acts that happened 20 years ago. So we're putting together a whole new program of guidance in that area as well. There'll be some training, there'll be some videos for your staff, and it's comforting to know that you've been in the GIF since 1988. We've always provided insurance coverage for this, so should you have a claim that goes back that far, the GIF is going to step in and take care of you. If the claim occurred prior to 1988, we have copies of your old policies from before you came to the GIF, and you can go against that insurance company that you had at the time that we obligated, because the company didn't have exclusions on those claims way back then. So that's all I have for tonight. I'd be happy to entertain any questions that you have.
Paul, yes. I will start, and I sincerely hope that you bring this message back to the people that need to hear it, the GIF.
Sure.
We are, obviously we have a fine history with the GIF, but we are seeing, in our opinion, the GIF transform from an entity that would find a way to cover municipalities when claims were brought against them to being more similar to the insurance companies that we used to use before the GIF, where they're finding reasons to deny coverage. And the message we want to make clear is we want you to find ways to provide coverage, not deny it. We understand there's exclusions, contractual action, things of that nature, that's fine. We had a particular situation, CHP, where neighbors sued each other. The city of Benton was not a party to that suit. But all the factual basis was the same. Our representatives sent that information to the GIF. Subsequent to that happening, Benton was brought into suit, or there was a second suit where Benton was named as defendant. Same property, same facts. Thinking that they had already sent the previous suit up, they were late in sending this suit. And the GIF's response was, well, you missed the time deadline, so we're not going to provide coverage. With our understanding being the reason those time deadlines are in place, so the insurance company can be informed of the claims in a timely manner, and do investigations and make sure their rights are not jeopardized. Clearly they had the information. It was just a technical way of finding a method to deny our claim.
I'm surprised to hear that.
Now,
I bring that to my attention.
What made the matter worse is that under the documents, the insurance documents, my understanding is that if there's denial of coverage, you can go through an arbitration process or a process with the JIF, to say, hey guys, you should try this coverage. I sent the letters out to everyone, including Paul, and never got a response. I eventually got a response from Dave DeWeese, who I love, great guy, and he said, Tim, do you really want to do this? And I was like, yeah, Dave, I mean, we want these folks to provide us coverage. And I don't think that was Dave's response. I think that was his marching order. So that's not a criticism of Dave. Now, the end result is the claim settled for $10,000. The JIF paid $7,500 of that. The city had to pay for attorney's fees. But we want to emphasize to you, we don't want them to find technicalities to deny coverage when really, in good faith, they should provide it.
I agree with you. Tim, I'm going to look into this. This is the first I'm hearing about it, and it's not the way we operate. So I'd like to dig into it and find out exactly what happened to back beyond, please.
I'd appreciate that.
I will.
And when you look at the documents based up there, there was another matter, Sandstock, that was based in negligence and contract, and they denied that also, saying, well, it's a contract matter. Now, we got that plaintiff to withdraw their complaint. They refiled, and they refiled on the under contract, which we know is not covered, and that's fine. But it seemed to us that when it really could have gone either way, they erred on the side of not providing coverage. And that caused us, in other words, we would rather have coverage and have those dividends or the loss ratios changed a little bit, but be covered, so that we know when something happens, we'll have coverage. That's the message you want to give to Paul.
It's been heard. Okay. I'm going to look into it because I've heard that this before, and I'm kind of surprised, I'm going to tell you the truth, because I've been involved with the JIF since 1987. That's always been my philosophy. Let's find a way to provide coverage within the, within the four corners of the document itself, and not find a way to deny it. So, thank you.
It's possible that it was a coincidence, and that just two cases in a row in Ventnor, and I don't even know if it was the same person reviewing it, that determination was made, but to possibly appear like a patent. All right.
Then I will get back to you right.
Appreciate
it. I'm not just going to call you. I'm going to give you a letter on it.
Thank you.
I'm going to take the best case.
And including my letters asking to go ahead with arbitration or mediation so we can find out how to cover this letter.
Okay. All right.
Thanks. All right.
Yeah, we were extremely disappointed in that. And that's saying it lightly, because you're going to go do some research.
Yeah.
I was extremely upset with this denial. You're aware of something already, and you say, oh, you missed a deadline. You're already aware of it. So that doesn't fly with me. I'm sure it doesn't fly with the mayor and Commissioner Kriebel. So if you could get back us with an answer on that, that would be appreciated.
Absolutely.
But, split hairs like that.
Yeah.
It's not a huge amount of money, but every dollar counts up here. It really does.
Okay.
So I appreciate the very thorough presentation. That was good.
Yeah, it was great.
Learned a few things. I'll be interested to see the planning board stuff that comes out, because I sit there. So.
I'm disappointed to hear this, and I will absolutely follow up.
And we're not trying to kill the messenger.
Oh, no, yeah, no,
we had a good job.
You did a beautiful job.
I take it seriously.
But
I appreciate that.
You know, I would not be truthful if I said, if I didn't tell you that when things would come across my desk, I felt over the last couple of years like we were getting pushed back.
Yeah.
And we don't want to kill it.
Yeah, I agree.
He gave me the details. I just feel like they're not working with us, for us. It's sometimes it's like, are they working against us? I'm confused. So, it's not shooting you as a messenger.
No.
The presentation's beautiful, but this is something that it's not just our attorney.
We feel that way.
It's the governing body. We
shouldn't be this.
It
needs to be this.
No, because you're part owners of the JIF.
Exactly.
Right.
We're not supposed to be acting like an insurance company.
Right.
That's
exactly.
The whole thing.
Right.
And that's the, that's the, yeah. perception of that.
Yeah, well, I want to change that perception, so right. Just give me an opportunity.
I appreciate that.
Can I just ask you a couple questions? And
sure.
Maybe get back to me in the email so we don't have to go through back and forth. How long has the cybersecurity coverage been in place? Is that
the coverage went into, I believe it was 2013 when we first started providing insurance coverage for that.
Okay. Do you know if you have done any attempts at hacking? You've got analytics on for us?
Yeah. I can get them for you. I don't know them off the top of my head, but I can. So,
the last one should be, how do we qualify for that refund?
Yes. Well, I think that's why you
got
to talk to your IT.
Right. That's my question. That's the question.
Yeah. And just follow up with me if you can't find it on the website.
Okay.
Follow up on that is how much of the cybersecurity coverage doesn't say your implementation, because these numbers are huge now. When municipalities or cities or businesses are held hostage for these, what kind of coverage? It just says coverage.
Okay, right now, and I don't know what limits you selected. I think you have some options to select coverage limits. I think the basic limit is $2 million.
Let me think about it.
And I'll find out what your plan is there.
And I think the Tulip is I think we'll use that. I think we have a lot of events in our city.
That's
good news.
That can help the smaller entities not build a habit.
People that want a birthday party, but they don't own a home, so they don't do insurance.
So it's a small way to get the door open for this.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like that.
And Donna should be aware of that.
Yeah, she is, and she should be made aware. Yeah, I haven't seen it at the special events committee yet, so that brought up, so we'll bring that.
That can be canceled up until midnight of the day before the event, but suppose they decide to not go through with it,
right.
They get a full refund, and it's really easy to use.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's great.
I like that.
Good. And then my last question, you said claims are shared. Is that, are they shared within the pool of GIF, and then the aggregate is returned, or is it the vendor's claim?
No. The way it works is we have a budget, everybody contributes to a budget. Let's suppose you chip in 10% of that year's budget for the loss fund.
So we're
looking at 10% of the surplus. Right. And that's in the statutes and the regs. It's proportionate for you.
Great. It's good to come.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Enjoy the rest of your summer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a nice evening.
Yeah. Hey, Jim. Thanks.
We do not have any department head reports, am I correct? Or do we? No? We're good? Okay. We are not discussing capital. So in the regular portion, after we're done the workshop, we will have minutes for July 11th and July 25th to approve. We will be introducing ordinance 2019-017, and that is an ordinance we're amending the 2017-24 ordinance, our salaries. And what all that is because we have a group of public work employees that their titles are being changed due to a civil service specialist review.
They've been working out of titles.
They've been working out of titles.
This
exactly.
Is a better way to get it done than pay appropriately.
Exactly. We do not have any public hearings or adoptions of ordinances, and then we do have a list of resolutions that we will be voting on by consent. The first resolution, 2019-252, is an interlocal service agreement with the Atlanta County Improvement Authority for administering the program Income from Small City Grants for Housing Rehabilitation.
That's a renewal.
That's a renewal.
Yep.
A renewal. We'll go with
it's
a
good
that.
Program run by them for
yes.
A lot of communities that have been counted.
2019-253 to 2019-256 are resolutions of tax abatements for individual properties. You okay with that?
Yep.
2019-257 is authorizes participation in the Jersey Department of Environmental Protection Forest Fire Service Cooperative Agreement.
What is that about? What exactly is that one?
That's a co-op which I got wind of from
talking to a peer, and it is a program where it is access to needs, federal government, military equipment is available to the fire service through the Forest Fire and Department of the Interior. It's a program I'd never heard of, nobody I even spoke to had ever heard of it, but it's out there.
Great.
We are in need of high...
High-wheel vehicles.
High-wheel vehicles. The vehicles we currently have are county-owned and are in deplorable condition. We're going to get all brand-new vehicles at no cost to the city of Maine.
Great.
And you can, we've talked about this offline, that just we can kind of fix them up for what, you know, soup them up if we want to.
There are no limits to what we can do to any of the vehicles, modify them, and they're 2 and 4 years, they inspect them, then they give us the title for them.
Great.
It's a great program that comes directly to the fire service. You don't have to, when you go through law enforcement, there's a lot of limitations on equipment available to law enforcement than there will be in this heavy equipment.
Brigantine, I don't know where they got theirs from, but they did some nice modifications to it.
Military surplus.
They purchased it.
Yeah.
That was a purchased vehicle.
Yeah. Some of the stuff they've done to it.
Oh, it's now a valuable piece of their departmental cash.
So awesome.
We don't have that now.
Good.
For us to go out and try to do something in high flood waters, we're putting vehicles that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars at risk that we don't need to do.
Agreed.
And we will not be doing it, so we get it.
What's the timeline on that, Kevin?
You're step one tonight.
Okay.
And I'm going to call Monday morning.
That was great.
I already have a wish list I'm ready to send off to the Forest Fire Service.
Yep.
He told me to send whatever I want. They do the research, they pick it up and provide it.
I saw that modified Humvee in CI.
We are not authorized those Humvees anymore.
It was a great beach ambulance. It basically set up as an ambulance that can ride beach, snow, anything.
That's the only thing they told me I asked for that was not available.
Never did what
happened. I don't know why. I'm going to need a 2.5 ton truck every day.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you. You've saved the city a lot of money since you've been cheap.
Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
That's right. The next resolution, 2019-258, is a tax overpayment for refunding. And then from 2019-259 to 2019-267 are all public work employees. They're individually listed by name and title change. As I said earlier, the salary. So they've been working at a title, and we have a civil service specialist retired from the state of New Jersey, who's here one day a week, doing desk audit to make sure people are in the proper titles. And then...
And that actually can work out in our benefit.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because we're not paying them out of title, we're paying them in a title.
Yeah.
Once they work a certain amount of time out of title,
they get
a bump.
Yeah, exactly. Then, all the way down to 2019-268, and that is authorizing us to hire a part-time school traffic guard. 2019-269, that is our new fire truck, am I correct? Chief Cagle, would you like to tell us all about that?
You're approving the purchasing of the Quinn apparatus, which is a combination ladder and pumping engine. It'll take the place of the 1987 vehicle we currently have in service. It will allow us some redundancy on the use of ladders, which we've all been around and some interesting events we've had lately that I've been in command of, where we needed multiple ladders and we're using the mutual aid cities. When they get there, we'll be able to be much more efficient with the equipment. We're probably going to get another break on our joint, our ISO rating, our insurance service, because now we have two aerial apparatuses, which will look good for them, and if one vehicle goes down, we're not totally without an aerial, which happened 2 years ago. 48 days, and in that period of time, we had 3 third alarm fires that required aerial apparatus from out of the city. It's a safer piece of equipment for us. And it's replacing a almost 40-year-old vehicle.
Okay, so we're good with that?
Yep.
Okay, so now, what's not on the agenda, came in last minute, we have resolution 2019-270. Commissioner Creed was going to talk about that. And then we have 271 and 272, which are retirements, resignation of two employees.
Correct, Lisa?
Correct.
One will be for December 31st, one is for March 31st.
Right, and then they'll just be added on the next agenda.
No, they're added on tonight.
I have them ready tonight to give them another.
Oh, you have the written form?
I do.
Yes.
And I have them in front of you, too.
You were not paying attention. I said we have three more resolutions that aren't written on the agenda that we're going to vote on by consent.
They actually are. They are there, if you want to look at them real quick, but they're right there on your, in your pack.
So they're ready to go. So 270 is the purchasing of some security safety items that Mr. Friedman is going to talk about a little bit. And then the other two, Mr. McGuire, are the two resignations. You're up.
Okay, so last week we were given a presentation by JCT Solutions that was vetted by the police department as a provider for added security to this building in the form of door security, cameras, and a kiosk at the entrance on Cambridge Avenue with a camera, as well as a camera entrance to the mayor's office and potentially one for the clerk's office. So it's going to take it's a combination of a culmination of security needs that this building's had for years, and since we got an office, it's always been a concern, especially, and every year it's kind of gotten more and more to the forefront. This proposal includes the physical devices and the installation of electronic keys that activate with either a card, or if a police officer has someone in custody, a wristband. It's a very high-tech system that also tracks who is going through what door at what time. So it almost acts as an audit trail. And then there's included in it the software dashboard that is also very sophisticated that certain people, administrators, can give people certain accesses, turn certain accesses off, open up every door, lock down the whole building. It's all wireless on a very low signal so that the batteries last years. So it's not a Wi-Fi or Bluetooth thing. It's used, and the company itself is based out of New York, Northern Jersey, so that's kind of their proving ground. They've been at it for quite a while, that they get a lot of municipalities, a lot of big corporations, that they've gone through the bugging of these things. So we're getting kind of the benefit of that. So the material is going to be historically accurate to our finishes, like an oil well bronze. It's very discreet. The one that the keypad for finance will have a key code as well, so it's a double security. So it really answers the physical security, but then we're also going to be changing the behavior of the people. And this is a police station. When it's not in use as an office and a commission office. So during after hours, there's going to be a change in access. So this, as far as advances and things like that. So this is one step in that, and I think it's been very well vetted. They even twisted their arm during the presentation, and they threw in a couple more cameras and camera phones at the number that we had at. It doesn't affect any, there's a separate line item, there's conversations about the door. This is not about the doors, although the police department does have in their capital budget, this is capital as well, changing some of the doors to more security doors on this level. We have discussed the design of the doors on the more public spaces to either match what we have or to add 3M bulletproof glass to the glasses, like say in our offices, to give them
trying to keep some of the historic.
Right.
Absolutely. I think we all love that, but in this day and age, and anybody that's been in any municipal building, it's just we have some
liability. Yeah, precautions.
We
have precautions.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And I think we can do that and still keep the
good.
The view. But this is a really impressive 105.798.73 cents. Like I said, there's going to be some, it also has some interconnectivity to cameras as we go forward with the rest of the building. the cameras that come with the system, you'll be able to, people will be able to scroll through all the cameras.
Yeah.
We were all impressed.
Yeah. And we have that resolution correct, Lisa?
You do.
Okay. We're good. All right. Thank you. And then 270 and 271 and 272 are the two employees that have given their letters of retirement, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And we have those resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
So that was at the end of our resolutions that we will be voting on by consent. You will have approval of bills and payroll, and our next item is discussion items.
We do.
You want me to
release the back? No. I'm
saying that you're in the
pile.
What's
up?
You have
the...
Jim's
got it.
Okay,
you got it. These are fun.
Good.
Yeah. The proud stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
You going to take it? You go for it.
I have a brief presentation from the Menorah City Lifeguards. The 25th Bill Howard Women's Lifeguard Invitational, August 8th, took place. The Ventnor Beach Patrol Women won the Invitational. The team got a solid start with the first place victory in the doubles race with Stacey Price and Katie Fisher. Colleen Callahan, an unbelievable swimmer, contributed a crucial point with fifth place in the ocean swim. Stacey Price followed up with first place of the night in the singles race, and team trophy was solidified by a strong second in the surf dash by Stacey Price, Emma Bergman, Kelly McDevitt, and Grace Bunker. So kudos to the ladies there on that event. And then we really had a winning end of the season.
We did.
Really did. At the Brett Tarpeton in I guess that's in Wildwood, Brett Hansen and Doug Davis won the Around the Island Row. And the pair finished in 2 hours, 37 minutes, and 24 seconds.
20 miles. In a lifeguard boat.
Best in the field of 21 crews and a 20-mile race.
And it was Doug's first that length row.
Right.
Brett did it last year, and his partner said no thanks this year.
Yeah.
But Doug stepped in and did a phenomenal job.
I have a bunch of friends that have done that over the years, and they. The love-hate relationship with that race, that they want to do it, but they take a day or two off after.
They're both collegiate rowers.
Yeah.
Brett rode for Penn,
right.
And Doug rode for Drexel. So both
2 hours,
jeez.
37 minutes.
Nonstop.
And that was best. We also, big race, the only race that really has life-saving skills tested with the dummy bag and things like that. It's always been one of our great local races, the Gowdy. On August 16th, the team started strong with a victory for Matt Spire, Daryl Roche in the doubles race, rescue pickup, followed by a sixth place finish by TJ Gibbon in the swim, added to their lead with a solid third place in the combination swim row rescue race with Colleen again, Callahan, and rower Jack Marzak, and Pat Schober. So the Ventnor won the Gowdy Cup with a commanding victory in the singles row by Captain David Funk, who wrote this, by the way. And the Gowdy's are unique because they, like I said, showcase simulated rescues and allow competitors to highlight the rescue skill. It's a really fun race to watch.
I wasn't at the North Wildwood race. The other races I was there, yeah. The guys and girls did a great job. They really came together as a team at the end of the season.
Right.
It's always nice to win your home races. Right. Tim knows that from back days in Brigantine, whatever, but
so
it's nice.
Someone.
We won our races.
Yeah.
And races on our beach,
yeah.
So it's
nice. That's nice.
And then, you know, Billy would have been proud of the girls.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
We would have been proud.
I thought of him as soon as I saw the headline that they won.
That's nice.
All right. Good.
Good stuff.
Anything else?
Nope. I'm going to do these under...
Yeah, we do that under...
comments, questions,
yeah.
Comments? Okay,
yeah.
That's fine.
Okay. So now we'll open up to the public. If anyone like to speak on anything that we discussed thus far, if we have something that we didn't discuss, there'll be a public portion at the very end. So do I have a motion to open to the public?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Introduce yourself, sir.
Andy Starr, 500 North Cambridge.
Thank you.
Just can you clarify on your report, you just gave 270 with the resolution on security in the building?
Yeah.
I've only seen it on social media so far, a little bit, so this is the first time I'm hearing some nuts and bolts. Can you clarify on the impact during business hours for general population coming in for beach badges. How will that change or not change?
It shouldn't change during business hours, the board meetings, when they have meetings here. The only condition that has been discussed as a change would be closing the doors on Ocean, keeping them secure for only people to go through with security cards, and that making the primary access on Cambridge as a security measure. But as far as getting into offices or discussing...
Well, the difference would be, they'll get into the building. The difference, Andy, will be someone will not be able to just walk into Lisa's office.
Right, like they do every other day.
Exactly. There you go. That's the difference.
Yes.
Okay, so they're still going to have to get into the building. They'll still be able to get into the building.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
And did you just discuss that issue, whether there were any alternatives given the state of our world these days, whether some kind of, you know, people being punched in, it would cause all kinds of upset, get people really upset, but it would increase security.
They'll have access to get into the building and get services provided. They will not have access to freely go behind the scenes.
I understand.
As now people will walk right into Lisa's office or other offices.
We kind of identified the biggest impact that people might find as a difference is that after hours, and on weekends, the bathrooms aren't going to get open to the public. And, so that's what's happened is that becomes a security risk, really. We found it becomes people in and out of the office, in and out of the city hall when there's no one else but one shift of police here. So that's when it becomes a little bit more secure.
Was there any discussion of the glass windows for the police's world in terms of security? That'll be tightened up as well.
See, the finance has the thick ballistic glass. But when the glass was replaced before our tenure, the clerk office, they didn't want that glass, and I don't think code wanted it. So, but that was several years back.
And that makes sense, except for the world.
But now, now it's not going to be the person that sits behind the desk and make that decision.
Not a what?
That's a different, right? So, okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Do I have a motion to close the public portion?
Motion to close.
Do I have a second?
Second
motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Do I have a motion to close the workshop portion?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. First item to vote on, we have approval of the minutes for July 11th, 2019 and July 25th, 2019. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve minutes from July 11th and July 25th of 2019.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langria?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. Next is, do I have a motion to introduce ordinance 2019-017, and that is our salary ordinance.
Motion to introduce ordinance 2019-017.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langria?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. We do not have any public hearings or ordinance adoption. So the next, we will open it up to the public again if you'd like to speak on any of the resolutions that we're going to be voting on. Sorry, I know.
That seems redundant.
I know it does.
It seems like we already had open it up to any questions we've already talked about.
It does.
Do we need that second?
You have 3 public comment periods, which is more than any other municipality.
Yeah, we need to.
You could probably eliminate the middle one, quite honestly.
Yes. Okay. So we're going to eliminate that one, and we're going to go ahead and finish voting, and then
open
to the public. How's that? Okay? Hold tight. Okay. We have our motion to adopt resolutions by consent number 2019-252 to 2019-272.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langria?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. We're okay? We have our safety report written in the...
Yeah, bills
are paying bills. Oh, I did that again. I'm
well,
so
it's
sorry.
It's tucked in here at the bottom.
Not, you know what? Where is
it's
it?
Right at the very bottom.
Oh, you know what? I'm so sorry, Al. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We have, Al, will you please give us our bills and payroll?
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
We didn't all
it's squished in the bottom. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, the bill list for this period is $2,016,115.24. And payroll was $639,011.89.
Lisa, can you fold that next time for me? Make the print bigger, it's real tiny, I'm sorry now. Do I have a motion to approve bills and payroll stated by our CFO?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Lisa, roll call please.
Commissioner Crevel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langria?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes.
Just do control enter, moves to the next page, doesn't it?
No, I don't. Do you want to read it?
I will mention.
Announce the safety report?
Yeah, one thing in there that I think is appropriate, the JIF did cover our lease replacement, correct? For the.
It is the covered part of our policy.
Yeah, so that was one positive in JIF. So we had a damage to our T1 main ladder. And while it's being, when it goes into repair mode, we get a loaner. Not at the time here, it was covered in our.
Not exactly the same type of vehicle, but it said we'll have a ladder.
Right.
We'll not be without one like we were 2 years ago.
We just have to replace the turn it with the same amount of gas.
Got it.
Right. There you go, okay. I like that.
Knowing that was a legally parked car, their insurance company should be also paying some of this, correct?
I believe they're paying the majority of the.
Okay.
Now, I'm sure there's limitations on their corporate policy.
Right.
Comcast, but they're the ones that got towed and the ones that got paid.
I don't think they'll do that. At least that driver.
I don't know. It was just they were racing to a CPR call.
Right.
They parked car.
Yeah. It's, can't block a corner.
Thank you. Now, any commissioner reports or comments, and then we're going to open it up to the public.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Commissioner Langria?
So, if you've noticed, on every Saturday for, gosh, probably since the spring, we've had our crews out working on storm drains. So we've worked through the heights, cleaning out cross drains, siphon systems, and the runs that get to the pumps in some cases. So they've been working through, they've worked through the heights so far. They've been working in Ventnor Gardens most recently, and they've been hitting Ventnor Avenue pretty heavily the past 3 weeks. What they do is they go in and they jet the line, and they use our undersized vacs of truck that they have. A new truck would be a lot easier to do this. And they're cleaning out these lines, and they're finding blockages. So these, just to very quickly explain how drainage works on the island, from Atlantic Avenue to the ocean, it goes to the ocean. Everything else goes to the bay. So it has to go under each of the roads to get there.
Stormwater.
This is rainwater. So this water goes in an inlet, goes down, goes underneath the road, bubbles up on the other side, and continues. Those lines are there for years, and then they're small. So we've been cleaning those out. This is Ed Stinson's program. He started, I'm going to say probably in March or April when the weather broke. So every Saturday the crews are out doing that, cleaning that stuff out. So just an update on that.
I will say that I was rowing in that storm on Saturday, and all the storm drains along.
Fired out,
it's fired out.
Cadets.
Yeah,
good. That's good. Yeah,
people made note of it.
They're really
good.
Well, see, by them just doing that proactively, that can eliminate problems. Yes.
It helps.
It helps.
I say this when people call and have concerns about stormwater and ponding in the streets. If you live inland, you live in a development, you have stormwater basins, large, big, empty areas that hold stormwater, the volume that is created when it hits a pervious surface and runs into those basins. We don't have them here. There are streets. That's what they function as. Not by design, but by need. There's nowhere for that water to go. You cannot handle a 2-inch rainstorm that came down in 2 hours. You can't put the water somewhere. So we will flood. We will flood. What this does, it gets the water out faster, gets it to our pumps faster. You'll see in the next few months, you'll see things starting up where we're doing some improvements to those systems. Kingsley Drive behind there, it's a major drainage problem back there. Kingsley floods, Lafayette floods, and that portion of Wellington floods significantly at the corner past the school.
Yeah.
We're redoing all that. So that'll help that area. Ventnor Avenue's been a little better since they've been cleaning them. The problem we're running into now is it's an old system, it's a county road. We know the county's not going to help pay for that when they do their street improvements there. We're going to ask. But I'm pretty sure I know what that answer is going to be. Some of it is their work from Ventnor Avenue, but from an aspect of we're going to have to most likely put that in our capital improvements.
Okay.
get that fixed too. Another one that's coming up, you've noticed a road barrel on a traffic hazard barrel at Dorset Avenue.
Yes.
Calvert Avenue. Thank you. There is a sewer line there that we're having issues with. We're hoping that will hold off till summer is over before we dig up that road. We are in design in the next few weeks. Ed's putting that out to our pool of engineers to redesign that system. It's a county road. It's a concrete road. It's going to be expensive, and we're going to have a significant improvement to fix this issue. It's a breaking off. So right now, if it's a small problem, we're hoping it holds off until September. We don't want to shut that road down.
Yeah.
Every summer.
And we're going to have a road paving grant.
Not in that
section. Not in that section.
Not in that section.
They're
doing out past Wellington going towards Ski Beach.
Oh, okay.
And that's still in design. That's a little ways away. It's probably spring in the next summer. Time for that. Pier lights. Lightning has not been our friend this summer. The pier got struck, I'm going to say 3 weeks ago. We lost phones, computer, Wi-Fi, and the lights from the restroom back to the boardwalk.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to replace those lights was extremely difficult. We got some prices. They varied, and they had about a $10,000 difference between one and the other. So I believe we've hired Horn Electric. They've come up with a solution, and we don't have to replace poles. We replace heads, LED heads, and they're doing a little better job. So we're working on that. Just an update quickly on the pier bathrooms. We had some discussions. We submitted plans to the DEP. Finally got some good answers back from them. We do not need a special permit or an individual permit. It's called a GP General Permit 13. I believe that was the number. So that's moving forward. Dorn Engineering will be submitting that application soon. I know I talked to Commissioner Creeble about getting the bids out to build it.
And I passed that on to Kathy.
We're going to move forward with that as soon as we can. For whatever reason, my computer's bringing up press articles.
No, you're getting
obituaries.
Yeah.
I don't know
yet. Well, that's great news. I did pass that on. I'll follow up to make sure that now that we have some solid.
And that's a much quicker turnaround permit than having an individual permit. Individual is 6 to 9 months. Little assistance from Senator Brown and one of our weekend residents is the deputy commissioner of the DEP. Doesn't help to pin his ear a little bit, which I saw on our beach a couple weeks ago. So he was happy to hear that his staff was helping out. So that should be under construction this winter.
Good.
So
yeah, I'm pressing again.
Yep. That's all I have.
Okay.
Sorry for the long winters.
I think, do we have a meeting before the Seafood Fest or not? Yes,
that's not. No, Seafood Fest is September 7th.
Yeah.
Right.
And next meeting is the
12th. Yeah, okay. So September 7th.
September 7th is the Dam Beach Seafood Fest. We're excited. They're coming to Sea Beach. And it's Commissioner Creeper's birthday, so we'll grab a big cake in the middle. But more and more, I've mentioned it when we had a meeting, and we had a town hall meeting because I did it in my head, going around the city, and it's with 30 businesses come to that area for the last 3 years, which is great. It's a small town, and having been to the Seafood Fest, it's great. It's good for the city.
John Anderson runs unbelievable. He does Beer Fest in Atlantic City. He did this in Atlantic City for years, and you know, look at another option. So it's going to be a lot of fun. There'll be local restaurants, some out of the area restaurants. There's some veteran restaurants are involved as well. Two Frescos going to be there. I'm not sure about some of the newer ones, Julia and Aroma, but we'll have a lot of local support there.
And they have an area for kids.
He's always involved. I saw the layout, which is unbelievable. It's got, I don't know how many tents were set up for.
There's 40 different 40. Venues.
Yeah.
40
yeah.
different venues.
Horseshoe River.
Yeah.
And the center is all geared up for different things.
Yeah.
A beer tent.
An area for kids.
Bouncy things and all that.
And if you enter by water, like a paddleboard or a kayak, you get $5 off your entrance fee.
Yeah.
It's really going to turn out to be, I think, a really kind of a nice version of what was really a sprawling one in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
I think this will be...
Be condensed, yep.
Condensed version, it's going to have fencing all around, and an area for kids to play, and then a turnaround for shuttles from the old Tropicana parking area, mm-hmm. so it'll be...
I think adding the area to
the... It's going to help lessen the impact of parking, right. So I think it's going to be a great day, it's a great weather, apparently. Okay, for good weather.
Okay. Does have a rain day.
It does.
The 8th is the rain day.
Right.
All right. I think we're good. So now, I have a motion to open to the public.
Motion to open to public comment.
Second.
Second motion.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Now you can get up and say anything you'd like. First, you state your name and your address, please.
Hi, my name is Dr. Flora Winston, and I have a condo at 111 South Buffalo. So I had sent you an email earlier this summer about dog permitting as an idea for...
Yes, you did.
Yeah, so let me just let me convey it. So one of the joys I have is having my dog on the beach with me this summer. He's a therapy dog at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. He's about 7 pounds. And we have and I just wanted to share with you a potential for both making sure that good dogs are on the beach, and then secondly, actually bringing in revenue. So I live in Lower Merion during the year, and we have something called an off-leash dog permit. And what that is, I'm not saying necessarily the dogs need to be off-leash, but just to give you the idea, is that you have to demonstrate that the dog has had obedience training, and that the dog has all the shots, and you have to do the shots every single year, and then you have to buy a license. And so I think, we could come up with really cute things about what the dogs would wear or whatever it might be. It might be a cute leash that they would use or something like that. But I think it could be a way that we could start to deal with some of the dog problems and then allow dogs to be there in the morning and at night, possibly. Because I mean, when I'm walking in the morning, I want to be there with my dog. And, it just was... crazy when, I understand why they were doing it, but when the police come up to me with like a 7-pound dog who I'm holding, it just doesn't feel right. So anyway, I think I'd sent you the information about what we do, but it's really a wonderful program. There are two parks in Lower Merion that are, one's in Gladwin, one's in Penn Valley. And the dogs, I don't know of any problems, people care for it. So it just was an idea that we could potentially have a portion of the beach that could be, at certain hours, allow dogs to be on the leash. And then,
I
not the only...
I have no issue with the dogs. Mm-hmm. I'm a dog owner, I know that.
I got three dogs.
It's the people. They don't clean up after the dog.
Well, that's what you
that's what I'm saying. That said the same, the mayor said the same thing to me.
How does that stop people not cleaning up?
Because the issue is that it would be incredibly visible which dog it was. So like if the police were going by, they would see whose dog it was.
Yeah, but if they don't see it, that's when they don't pick it up. That's my issue with it.
I think the mentality, when you get a license and you pay for something and you put your name,
completely agree with that.
Yeah, I think people...
My issue is people.
Right.
They will not clean up after their dogs.
But well, I think the ones that might clean up after the dogs would probably be the ones that wouldn't get the license that wouldn't
right.
That was the point.
That's the mentality. Yes.
Yeah. So
send it to me again so I can...
Yes.
Because you sent me over the information, but we have to talk like this. I'm glad you came.
Yeah.
I wrote the same thing back to you?
That was the first thing. But see, the whole point is that the people who get the off-leash dog permits in Lower Merion, because they have to go through all of these steps,
right.
It's weeding out the people who are just coming out there and doing all the craziness.
Right. You would think.
I'm telling you that's what it is.
So when our visitors come over the bridge to come to New Jersey, that sense of whatever is gone. They do whatever they want when they come here.
I guess I don't know.
Parking, dogs run loose. It's a shame. They don't care for our island like they do their home areas.
I
sit and watch them on the beach.
I pick up, but
throw their stuff down.
I pick up all the plastic.
Walk the beach with me one day. Ask the lifeguards because I hand it to them. And
I just wonder
not dog waste, but plastic and whatever. But
I completely agree with you. It bothers me.
It's frustrating. So,
yeah.
Look, I would love to see it. I'd love to take my dog on the walk on the beach in the mornings. We do it at night. But we had We tried to allow hours when we first got
in. Yes, we tried to add morning hours.
Oh, you would have thought we were bringing, you know, elephants or something. I mean, oh my
God. We wanted to add like an hour in the morning. Mm-hmm. People, because most people that want to go on the beach with a dog, it's early. It's not 9 o'clock.
We were
no. And it's 7:09, you're eating dinner anyway.
Seven, maybe 6:08.
Exactly. Let me ask you a question. You have a service dog, correct?
It's actually a therapy dog.
A therapy dog.
Uh-huh.
You don't need him for the service.
He actually goes and visits the children at the hospital.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's not a servant.
You know what I was going to ask. Yeah. You know exactly what I was going to ask.
Yeah. He doesn't
say that. Because if he's a therapy dog for you under ADA, she can go everywhere and anywhere with that dog.
Yeah, I could lie about it.
But you know. You're good. See, that's why you don't mind.
I like the idea.
But the reality is, you know, I mean. Well, just think about it. It could be a fundraiser. You know, I mean, we already have beach tags.
How much do they cost in your municipality?
You know, I don't remember. I thought it's like 30 bucks.
Not a big amount, but
right.
I'm happy to look into it. I would love to.
Send it to me again, and then I'll forward it off. Okay.
And I thank you all so much for what you do. I think it's a wonderful place to come to. Thank you, all of you.
Thank you very. Thanks for coming tonight.
Yeah, sure.
Anyone else? Yes, come up to the mic, state your name and your address, please.
Hi, Jeremy Polch, Nashville Avenue.
You're not an Alabama, I'm teasing you. Back again.
No. My issue is the street cleaning is stopped during the summer months. And what I found is the people who have a registered car that live on my street, they park their car, it's a parking issue. They park their car, like there's been a car in front of my house, it'll be 3 weeks on Sunday. And they're not moving the car. And it's not just one car, it's two cars. Because my neighbor was complaining about another car that people have. They just park the cars. So I understand that this just started about a year ago that you ended the street cleaning from like July 4th until Labor Day. And I know that parking is a crunch. I mean, I live on Nashville. It's an issue. I'm fortunate enough to have a driveway, but we do have a tenant that has one car that we want to use on the street. And with people parking their cars for this person legally, because the car is registered, I did call the police department and I gave the license plate number and he told me it is a registered car. He does have a parking permit in the car, showing, but technically he can park his car from July 4th until Labor Day in front of my house if he really wanted to. So
can they go out? Don't they leave?
No.
They don't use their car?
No. They just park it in front of the houses, and it's been there. I have it on my security, because I was in turn like, gosh, this car has been here for a while. And I have a ring. So I went on my ring system, and I saw exactly when the car was parked, and it has not moved since. It was August 4th. The car has been in front of my house. So my thing is, okay, do you want to bring back weekly street cleaning, because then people have
to like that, Joan.
Yeah.
Because the reason, just so you know, the reason we stopped during the summer months is because people had a jockey from one side to the other.
I get it.
And there was nowhere to jockey your car.
Right.
It made no. So many people were getting tickets. It didn't make sense.
And I get that.
So that's not really the issue. The issue is that you have a resident who was parking their car for a long period of time in front of your house, and I don't think you really can do anything about it.
But can't you, if you did away with the street cleaning for the summer months, can't we somehow limit the amount of time that they're allowed to park in one spot?
Because that would affect you and everybody else.
Is it a neighbor? Do you know the person?
It is a neighbor. I will not get involved with that because I lived in Northfield for 30 years prior and I had a neighbor across the street that had stray cats, which they just like took 18 cats out of her house, the animal control, last year. And I tried to be a good neighbor and say, you know, your cats are going to the bathroom all over my house and blah, blah, blah. And she basically told me to you know. So I am not, I, at this point, after that whole situation, I don't confront people. I'd rather go through, but there's nothing. I'm just here because...
Do you know who it is?
Yeah.
Do they have a driveway?
No. They live right next to the townhouses that are...